continue to have series on salvation. We've been looking at various components of salvation from a systematic theology. And so first week we looked at predestination, and we saw that all are predestined, and yet only some will respond. And then the second week we looked at grace, the way in which God's grace works to get us ready for salvation, to lead us towards conversion. We took a break last week, and we start back this week looking at justification. And for our growth group leaders who have the order of where we're preaching in, you'll notice union with Christ is the next subject. We're skipping that until next week. Justification today. So if you've got your Bibles in front of you and you want to turn to Romans chapter 3, verses 20 to 26. Now this justification, it is a biblical phrase. Sometimes when we talk about these theological terms, they're not specifically or explicitly in the scriptures, but the word justify or justification kind of fits very well in there. It talks about the idea of which we're justified for our sins. It comes multiple times within scripture. It is a biblical phrase, and the concept of justification, it's in a sense, it's a judicial It gives us this imagery of a law court, where a verdict is given whether we are guilty or not guilty. This is the imagery that it draws upon. It is the moment in salvation, justification, where we in fact are free from sin. We are justified for our sin, we are not justified, and therefore receive the punishment for our sin. Without the moment, salvation where your sins in fact are justified. That's grace. Now, for some of us, this is a journey. It's not like a moment, where the altar call, the music, goes quiet, the lights dim, and there's this magical moment where you go, yeah, I want to follow Jesus, and my sins are being justified for me. I give the moment of God, I pray especially. For a lot of us, this is a journey. And we're not actually sure the moment in which we move from a spot of, okay, I've received and guilty, and therefore received the full punishment for my sin, to the moment where we become not guilty, when we are justified. That often is a fairly blurred line. And we're not exactly sure when it happens, but often we know that it does happen. It happens in this component of salvation. And so we kind of step back today and look at how this happens, why it happens, where does this happen in the journey, and what in fact is the cause of this justification. How can we be made just in the eyes of God? You see, when we look at God and we look at the way in which he works within, we know that our God is a just God. That when God created us, he created us in a relationship to follow him, guided by him, to be directed by him. And we know that we as sinners, we have people who sinned against God, who disobeyed God, and therefore we deserve the just punishment of God. We should be punished for the sins for which we live. And yet God, in his loving grace, God in his loving grace sent his Son into this world in order where Jesus, who lived a perfect and sinless life, died on the cross for our sins. It is this act of atonement where Jesus, his perfect blood, without sin, was offered in the heavenly holy of holies to God and was risen back to life. This act of atonement says, for no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law requires. The law simply shows us how sinful we are. But now God has shown us a way to be made right without keeping the requirements of the law, as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, in His grace, freely makes us right in His sight. He did this through Christ Jesus, and He freed us from the penalty for our sins. For God presented Jesus as a sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed His life, shedding His blood. And this sacrifice shows that God has been fair in His program and did not punish those who sin in the past times. But He was looking at them and including them in what we were doing in this present time. God did this to demonstrate His righteousness, that He Himself is fair and just, and He makes sinners right on His side. So the context of this in Romans, it's his writing to people who are Jews. They are Jews, they are God's people, Israelites, who are following the law in Rome. And there would be some non-Jews that are integrated within this group and this church in Rome as well. But what you see here is this idea of the law. Now when he mentions the law, he's talking about the Mosaic law, which God gave. And it's within this law that the nation of Israel were not made right with God, but their sins and sins were not so that they could get to know God. You see, it says in verse 20 here that for no one can be made right with God by doing what the law commands. You see, sometimes when we read the Old Testament, sometimes when we look at God's story, we think, okay, the law, which required a sense of sacrifice and obedience, allowed the nation of Israel to be made right with God in His sight. You see, the law didn't do that. The law never made the nation of Israel perfect. The law never paid or actually justified them in the sight of God. You see, before Jesus, people were not made right with God. You see, the law in the Old Testament, which is before Jesus, the law, in fact, just covered their sins. It allowed them to come into a relationship with God, but it was limited to their obedience. It was limited to their obedience. That never, in fact, made them right with God. It only covered their sins, and so that they could get a glimpse and start to get to know who God is. But in fact, as we hear here, that the law simply shows us how sinful we are. You see, sometimes in our life, in our world, we keep going on about and we think that we're pretty good people. There's a lot of people, as you speak to those in our community and amongst the world, that think that they're pretty good. You know, we often do, before we come to know Jesus, we actually think that we're pretty good people. You know, oh, I'm not too bad. I'm not as bad as that person. I'm not as bad as that person. I must be fairly good. You see, it's not until the moment in which God shines on our life and actually demonstrates that we're not good, that we in fact see how not we are. That is what the law in fact did to the nation of Israel. You see, when God delivered the law, they as a people probably thought, oh, we're fairly good. We're fairly good people, we're not too bad, we kind of follow God, we kind of get to know Him. And yet when God delivers the law, when He gives us not only the Ten Commandments, but heaps of commandments in order to follow the way of God, they in fact realized how sinful we were. It's like a mirror. You know, it's one of those things where you shine it on yourself. Where, you know, for me, I look into the mirror and I see my hair is stopped off to one side, or I see a massive pimple growing on my nose, and I see that my egg was falling all over my face, that I realize those things. That I realize those things, and then I go and seek to clean it up so that it will present me. That is what the Lord was. He was a mirror to the nation of Israel that demonstrated our sinfulness. And we, in fact, in our salvation, go through that similar process where we, in fact, realize our sinful we are. And that's God working in us through His grace. It's God actually working for us and realizing how sinful we are. And it's in this moment in grace where we realize that there is a way. See, verse 21 says, but now God has shown us a way. God has shown us a way to be made right with Him without keeping the requirements of the law, as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who. God has made a way. The law in the Old Testament was never the way in which we would be saved. God always had a plan, and it was through Jesus Christ that we could be made right with God. That is our justification. And we need this because when the mirror of the law or the mirror of God's standard is shined upon our lives, we realize that we are sinful. We realize that for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's promises. There's nothing we can do to, in fact, reach God's standard. No matter what we try, no matter how many things we do in the church, no matter how many great things we do that are good for our community, we can never receive or reach God's glorious standard. As it explains here, that God in His grace freely made us right in His sight. And He did this through Christ Jesus. It's because of Jesus' actual atonement, His perfect blood, yet from on the cross, His blood which was offered for us, and His resurrection, that we can be justified, not by anything we do, but we can be justified by faith, by receiving what God and what Jesus has already done. See, there's nothing we can do to receive His salvation. We are justified by faith. Sounds like a simple project. And many of you have received it. And it sounds like a simple thing. It sounds like our word is over and over and over. But this is not something that happens and we just do and we can't do nothing with it. See, our justification is very important. Knowing and understanding, we don't necessarily have to pick the moment of salvation or the moment of justification, but we need to understand that at one moment in our life that we have been justified. We need to understand that because sometimes in our Christian journey, when we think about salvation, when we think about the way in which we save, we try and other things try and creep in. You know, I'm saved. As long as I do You see, in other Christian traditions, all would agree that we are justified by faith. Catholics would agree, Anglicans would agree, everyone would agree that the scriptures say we are justified by faith. Sometimes, other people say, well, maybe I'm not justified or I'm not a good enough Christian. And that's actually this that calls it. You know, sometimes in our justification, we kind of go, yeah, I'm justified. But really so. That's the question. But what you're really asking, not am I really saved, am I really justified? Am I really right in the sight of God? And it's here where we get baggage in our Christian life. It's here where we get things that kind of pulling on and journey with us. Where we go, yeah, but I'm only justified if I understand the Bible. I'm only justified if I've actually read it through cover to cover and I actually understand it. I'm only justified in my knowledge of God. Knowledge does not justify. You know, maybe you think I'm only justified, not to put myself in this, if I do an eloquent sermon illustration. Now, for those who were with us a few months ago, I had audible gasps from this sort of sermon illustration. Chris tied this up to the top there, and then as we were talking about Rahab, it kind of appeared as this rope. But sometimes we kind of go, only justified if I had a really sort of good sermon illustration. You know, kind of if I presented it in a way in which was eloquent and just effective. And one week you don't have a good sermon illustration or you don't present something that's good enough. Am I really justified? You know, maybe you think, oh, I'm only really justified if I work in the church and serve in the church. You know, I'm only really justified if I windows. I get everyone spotless, streak-free, is what we're going to do after this. Has anyone ever got a window that is streak-free? I don't seem to have streaks in it. What's that? Metho. But this says, it removes it all. Streak-free shine. I'm only justified if I can get everything perfect. I'm only justified, you know, if I work in the gardens and I cut down the trees. This is my now, I'm only justified if I get it perfectly right and I cut down the trees and I'm serving faithfully in the church. I'm only justified if I play soccer as good as the Timberwolves last night. Get that goal. And the penalty showing, penalty point. If I miss the goal, I'm no good. You know, God has gifted me in soccer, but if I miss it, I'm no good, and I'm not justified in the sight of God. You see, sometimes when we bring our salvation and when we bottle it down, we are justified before God. We add other things in. We add these extra things. I'm only saved, I'm only justified if I do this. If I become obedient, if I actually gain knowledge, if I go backwards, I'm not justified in God's sight. You see, justification has nothing to do with those things. That's what happens after justification. When God works on us, and we'll talk about that, that's the term sanctification. That's what God does after. It has nothing to do with our justification. Because justification has nothing to do with anything that we can do. Justification is a gift from God. We receive what God does, not anything we can do or any skills and gifts that we can give. Anything we can give cannot be good. Justification cannot be good. It's only to see through what Jesus already did. Verse 26 says, God did this visible in your house if you are struggling. And God is trying to, and Satan is trying to deceive you. Write that down, record that moment again and afresh, and remind yourself.